So our parable that Jesus gives us today, of course, is about the weeds that grow alongside the wheat. The enemy comes to sow the bad seed among the good seed, and the weeds and the wheat grow up together. And I think immediately something comes to mind, even before there's any more explanation of this parable about what's going on here. We immediately go to the problem of evil, which is something that we all face in our own lives. Why is there evil in the world? Why do I have to endure this evil? Why are humans inclined to evil and to sin? Why do we do the things that we do? And maybe more so, why am I personally attracted to sin or to evil? See, these are all questions that this image of the weeds and the wheat immediately bring up in our minds. But I think that we should start with maybe ruling out one misinterpretation of this parable that has to do with that problem of evil. You know, I think we hear a lot nowadays about people who are trying to justify their faults. And they say things like, well, I'd rather have this vice than one that's worse than that, right? You see, I think a lot of us are being taught to think that the most important thing about life is to be ourselves. And that being ourselves should be something that we don't need to work for. Should be easy, should be natural. Hence, if we have a particular vice, or if we're prone to a particular sin, well, just be yourself. Embrace it. Make light of it. Joke around about it. Embrace it. Let it be yours. Let the weeds grow up among the wheat. Well, my friends, this is a great misuse of the parable and of Jesus' words. So Jesus himself will say, the parable of the weeds and the wheat is about the final judgment. Why the wicked are allowed to continue living along the just until that final day. Because, of course, we are not capable of making that judgment, for God belongs to Him and Him alone. But the parable says nothing but how we deal with the evil within our own lives, the sin that we are prone to. See, I think another image to help us understand that is when the weeds and the wheat are growing alongside one another, of course, in the end, we are one or the other, but they have no way of attacking one another, no real capacity. Each plant has its own defense mechanisms, but they can't uproot the other plants that are competing for the soil or the resources. See, the only thing that a plant can do is root out the evil from within itself. Those things that are not beneficial to it. You know, just in my sitting room, for example, I have a plant. I try to water it, make sure it has enough sun. But some of the leaves still wither. Why do the leaves wither? Well, because some of the leaves don't catch any sun. And so they are not beneficial to the plant anymore. Does the plant make great sacrifices to keep all those leaves alive? No, it wouldn't make any sense. It cuts those leaves off from the water supply, they dry up, they fall off. That's the image of rooting the evil out from within us. Rooting out those things that are not beneficial to us, especially the evil of sin, which is very different than the image, the parable that Jesus gives us of the weeds and the wheat. Okay. So moving on to another point here, the biblical commentaries say that the type of weed that the Lord is talking about resembles very closely, at least in the initial stages of growth, the wheat. So it's hard to distinguish the two. Hence, it has to grow a significant amount before the master is able to distinguish or see the difference that between the weeds and the wheat, that they are both mixed in together. So the master's decision at that point is to let things run their course rather than to pull up the weeds. He allows everything to grow to its full potential and then he will separate them. You see, for us in our lives, it's not always clear what is good and what is not. And if God's angels were to rip the weeds up, the wheat the Master is saying, would also be uprooted. See, if it's even the weed, if it's not fully grown, what good is it going to be to anyone? It's of little use. So that's why the enemy's seed is allowed to grow up alongside the seeds of the kingdom, the bad alongside the good. Because somehow in God's providence, that is the way that even the good seed can come to its full potential. Maybe just a few examples of how that's true. If you've been in sports, you know that you don't come to your full potential unless there's real competition. Okay? And you can play tennis or basketball with your kids, but they're not helping you strive to be better at that sport. Right? When there's real competition, however, there's that motivation to perform at your best. And so it is in the life of the Spirit. Many of the great saints were not aroused to great holiness or virtue until they saw or experienced the depths of depravity, the true darkness of evil. The fact that the weeds are competing actually can allow the good seed, the wheat, to grow better. See, in the end, this parable is a parable about God's mercy. How He comes not to destroy, but to allow us to repent and to have life in its fullness. See, in the end, of course, we're all in need of God's mercy. That's the key. That's the key to understanding this parable. If the harvest were now, if it were today, what would come of us? Would we be among the weeds or among the wheat? It's difficult to answer that question, isn't it? It's difficult to have any certainty. But we do know that unlike a plant, we as humans have been given the chance to repent, the opportunity to change our lives, to change our ways. And see, that's God's mercy at work. Why not come now, Lord? Why not root out the evil? Why not pull up the weeds? Because He wants to allow each and every one of us the chance to repent. In Peter's second letter, he says, "The Lord does not delay His promise, as some regard delay." We might think the Lord is delaying, right? "But He is patient with you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, God's mercy is shown in His patience. That was the same thing that our reading from the Book of Wisdom said. "With much lenience, Lord, You govern us. You gave Your children good ground for hope that You would permit repentance for their sins." What seems like His delay is His mercy allowing us a chance to come closer to Him in His love, to receive His mercy, to repent of our sins. You see, the tree of the kingdom grows slowly, but it's growing in such a way that there might be room for all under its branches. The kingdom is expanding, even though we may not see or witness its growth. And that image of the flower, the three measures of flour was equivalent to about 50 pounds. Imagine how long it would take for the leaven to have that dough rise. 50 pounds of flour. Why? So that all could be fed. So that all might come to the Lord's table. These images are all of the Lord's patience, waiting for us to come to the truth, to repent. And that is the Lord's great mercy for us. So today we thank God for His patience, His forbearance, which is His mercy. We thank God that He gives us, and not only to us, but to our loved ones, and even to our enemies, the chance to repent, the chance to change. He gives us time to find a dwelling in the shade of the kingdom. He gives us time to find a seat at His heavenly banquet and to partake of the bread of heaven. The Lord's mercy is shown in His patience.